The words of God given to us today are Acts 13, verse 26 to 30. It is pages 209 to 10 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Amen. As we have announced many times, starting from tomorrow, for 1 week, there will be a special morning prayer session. Now, because there is this session, for those who live far away from the church, it's not necessary for them to come. Through the internet, it's possible to participate in the morning session, prayer morning session. Starting from this year, many church members had requested that the morning prayer sessions and our worship services be webcast real time, because it's hard for people who live far from the church to come to these events. But we weren't able to comply with the request because we lacked the equipment and other conditions to do this. But starting from tomorrow, we finally have the equipment to be able to do this, and therefore all members of the church will be able to participate in the morning service and also the Wednesday Bible service. But as far as the Sunday worship service is concerned, unlike the morning prayer sessions and the Wednesday Bible, it is meaningful and a principle for us to come to the church itself to have the worship, and therefore we decided not to webcast the Sunday worship services. However, because of those, for many reasons, including bodily illness, who cannot come to church, for these members, we have decided that we will webcast all of the worship services real time, all of the services that's taking place at the church. For the eighth week, we are looking at the content of the sermon that Apostle Paul gave in the Jewish synagogue in the Pisidian Antioch. The introductory part of the sermon that we looked at during the past 6 weeks is about how God sent to this earth as savior of men. The part of the sermon that we looked at last Sunday was as a testimony about John the Baptist, who prepared the way of Jesus. That John the Baptist was completely hid himself and only revealed Jesus Christ in his life, and was a true man of faith. And starting with today's passage, the sermon introduces Jesus in earnest. Let's first look at verse 23. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. As we already know, the God has sent Jesus through the lineage of David's family as a savior. Now, the verse 26 of today's verse introduces Jesus as follows. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. Today's passage, the verse 26 of today's passage, points to Jesus and testifies about him as the message of salvation. God is Word. The God who is Word, when he said that, let there be light, the light came to be. That Word is the mighty Word of creation and the Word of eternal life. that word taking on the flesh of man and coming to us, incarnation, was Jesus. This is the reason that when we point to Jesus, we say that the Holy Son is in essence the same as the Holy Father. So therefore, to say that we believe in Jesus is the same as knowing and believing in God's Word. In other words, to say that we know and believe in God's words means, in effect, that we know and believe in Jesus who came to us in man's body. So therefore, unless we try to know God in God's words in the right way and to believe them, there's no way to know or to believe in Jesus. But when Jesus actually came to this earth 2,000 years ago, having taken on man's body, verse 27 shows how the Jewish people reacted. Verse 27, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. The Jewish people gathered in the synagogue every Sabbath and read aloud the laws of Moses and the words of the prophets. The sound of reading the God's words rang through the synagogue and were heard very loudly by the Jewish people who were gathered there. But those Jewish leaders who read aloud God's words every Sabbath, did not try to know or to believe that the word of God that had come to us in the body of men on this earth was Jesus Christ. So, therefore, they ended up condemning the word of God, Jesus, while they read aloud God's words on every Sabbath. Now, our word condemnation, that's in original Greek is krinos, has the meaning of to put to trial, to judge. Now, the men who are the subject of judgment of God ended up committing the absurd act of condemning Holy Son who came to earth to save men. Now, those who read aloud God's words every Sunday, by condemning Jesus Christ, the words of God that prophesied the suffering of Jesus Christ came to be fulfilled. Let's take a look at verse 28 to verse 29. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed when they had carried out all that was written about him. There couldn't be any sin in Jesus who was the Word, but now those Jewish leaders who worry that their religious power would shrink because of Jesus who was truth charged Jesus with blasphemy and also treason against the Roman Empire and demanded that the Pilate put him to death. It wasn't just a simple demand, but if Pilate were to refuse to put Jesus to death, they pressured Pilate as if they would stir up the mob and start an insurrection so that Pilate had to put Jesus to death, and at the end, Jesus ended up by being nailed to the cross and dying on the cross. So by the leaders of the Jewish people who read aloud God's word on every Sunday, the word of God that Jesus would come to suffer death came to be fulfilled without a single error. Before Jesus came to this earth, God, through prophet Isaiah, said the following about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 8. Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. We were all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. 700 years before Jesus came to this earth, the word of God through prophet Isaiah became fulfilled. Jesus was taken to the priests, the Herod, Pilate, by turn, and suffered bitter insults and questionings. And he was wounded by the whipping of the Roman soldiers, and Jesus, as if a lamb that is taken to a slaughter, took on the cross and went to Golgotha. And at the place of Golgotha, he was nailed to the cross, and he died by being speared, pierced with a spear. All of God's word became fulfilled. What is surprising is that the word of God that prophesies the suffering of Jesus came to be fulfilled through the leaders of the Jewish faith that made a living out of God's words, condemning Jesus to death without any ground. What is even more surprising and mysterious is that by those Jewish leaders who put Jesus to death without any ground, the great saving work of God that was to save men from the fetters of sin and death became fulfilled perfectly by Jesus being punished. We came to have peace in our relationship with God. By his wounds, all of our weaknesses were healed. By Jesus being wounded by the whips, all of our weaknesses were healed. By Jesus dying on the cross, we came to be freed from the fetter of sin and death. Everything that the God had said, came to be true through the Jewish leaders who put Jesus to death without any grounds in order to keep their religious entitlements. It is a paradox. Now, today's passage that conveys these facts to us, we can understand a very important lesson. Let us take a look at the latter part of verse 22 to verse 23. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do, From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. That God sent Jesus Christ through the lineage of David to this earth, was to fulfill his words of promise that he would save his people through the descendant of David. So as we meditated on these words 3 weeks ago, we reconfirmed that the words of God always come true in the history of men. What is important? The important fact is that God always fulfills his words in the history of men, but he always makes them come true by making men as his instruments. Now the word of God that Jesus, by suffering and receiving penalty of death in place of men who are sinners, will free them from fetters of sin and death, became true by the Jewish leaders who condemned him without any ground. On the other hand, the word of God that God will come to this earth in the body of men came true. It became true through the Virgin Mary, who entrusted herself to the work of the Holy Spirit, although she knew the fear of law that would stone any virgin who had become pregnant. The word of God that the one who sows to please his sinful nature from the nature will reap destruction came true through the life of Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus for 30 silver coins and who ended up killing himself. And the God's word that the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit reap eternal life came true through the life of Paul, who undertook the mission at the Jewish synagogue of Pisidian and Antioch, although he contracted endemic disease, but who did not go home, and he crossed the Taurus mountain to undertake such mission. The word of God that the evil man will always be punished will come true through the life of the evil man and the promise of God that those who seek after his kingdom and his righteousness will come true through those who throw themselves on God's words. So in this way, through the life of an evil man, the life of a righteous man, and life of those who know him and life of those who do not know him, the word of God is always fulfilled without any error. Everyone who lives in this earth, without a single exception, are instruments through which the God's will is fulfilled on this earth. Now this is the reason why we have to humble ourselves and be awakened to God's words. If we place our desires before God's words, then while we're unaware of it, we will only degenerate into the instrument of evil in which we put Jesus on the cross in our lives. But if we're awakened to God's words, then no matter how insignificant we may be, like Maria from a poor Nazareth town of Galilee, like Apostle Paul, who was once a prosecutor of the church, can become the good instrument through which we can embody God's words in our bodies. We are insignificant, But the Word of God is a word of life. How can there be a more precious life than through our body that once will decay, will come to embody the eternal words of God that will not die? Another important lesson that we can learn from today's passage is that suffering is an essential process through which we arrive at the true life. If the suffering ends with suffering, at suffering, then that would be a meaningless suffering. If Jesus, endured the suffering on the cross in order to pay for our sins, but if it ended with the suffering of death, then he could never be our Messiah who could save us. Now, if he just became merely the food for death, how could he raise us up from death? But Jesus' suffering of death did not end with suffering only. Let us take a look at the verse 28 to verse 30. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. For the sake of God's providence, that would save men by making Jesus an offering. Jesus threw himself in suffering. Now, Jesus raised Jesus from the suffering of death. Jesus broke through death and lived again. And thereby, Jesus became the eternal Savior of life that raises all men, that frees all men from the fetters of death. This was the true victory of life that could not be arrived at without going through the suffering of death. Now, today's text, in pointing to Jesus, defined him as the message of salvation. Now, this world in which sinners live is always evil. Therefore, the word of truth is bound to suffer. But the word of truth, although being nailed to the cross and being pushed into the abyss of death, by breaking death apart and by living again, proved that the word of truth is an eternal life that could win over the evil of this world. It was the power of true life that could only be proven through the suffering of death. All of the stories in the Bible did not end 2,000 years ago. All of the contents of the Bible is always repeated. It was repeated 1,000 years ago. It is being repeated at this hour. And until the Lord comes, it will be repeated exactly the same even 1,000 years later. In the way that the Jewish leaders nailed Jesus, who was the message of salvation, to the cross, those who wish to live rightly according to God's words will face all kinds of suffering and disadvantages in this world. But through those people who do not fear suffering and disadvantages for the sake of God's words will work through such persons and will be revealed as life that will renew the world. 3.5 years ago, I had mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor. In 1933, when the Nazi Party of Hitler succeeded in establishing the single-party rule, the German Christian Church degenerated into a sub-agency of the Hitler administration. When this happened, Pastor Bonhoeffer and conscientious Christians came together to form a confessing church. This was to oppose the national church that had become the propaganda, instrument of propaganda for Hitler. It was a campaign to restore the church and to bring about revival of faith by confessing only Jesus Christ as the Lord. Now, there was no way that Hitler would leave them alone, and all the leaders of the confession church came to be arrested, and outwardly the church became dissolved. But the leaders, including the Bonhoeffer, who avoided the arrest, continued their underground activities. In 1939, he visited the New York Union Theological Seminary, where he had attended before, and many people who loved him and valued him recommended that he seek asylum in the States and not go back to Germany. They persistently asked him to do this, and among them were a famous theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr, who had moved to the States by seeking asylum. Because of their request, Pastor Bonhoeffer considered them seriously, but at the end, he refused the following letters and decided to return to Germany. That was like a living hell. "If I do not face up to suffering with my fellow Germans, I won't have the right to participate in the efforts to reconstruct the lives of Christians in Germany after the war." To Bonhoeffer, to reconstruct the lives of Christians meant to keep to the words of God. In order to keep the words of God in Germany, he did not avoid suffering and return to Germany, where the suffering awaited him. He was arrested in 1943, and in 1945, on April 9th, was put to death by hanging by the special order of Hitler. This was merely 3 weeks before that Hitler committed suicide by gun with his lover Eva Braun in the underground bunker. Bonhoeffer was only 39 years old at the time. Now, was it the case that his dream of participating in the reconstruction of the German church came to nothing because he died before the war ended? No, that is not the case. Because of his faith that they took on even death in order to keep God's words, the German church became restored. Through this young man who did not fear even death to keep God's words, the God's word became revealed as the power of life that transcended even death. It wasn't the case that only Bonhoeffer lived such a life because Bonhoeffer happened to be a very special man. Werner Heisenberg, who lived at the time of Bonhoeffer and who was a physicist, was known as a genius of Germany. The same can be applied to him. Now, Heisenberg announced the uncertainty principle at the age of 27. He surprised the world. And he surprised the world again by receiving the Nobel Physics Prize at the age of 31. But Heisenberg, who had the anti-Nazi and pro-Jewish tendencies, also faced persecution by the Nazis. In 1939, when Bonhoeffer was visiting the United States, Heisenberg also was giving special lectures at the University of Chicago. Now, many Americans who valued his abilities and him very highly asked him to seek asylum in the States. But Heisenberg also, for the following reasons, turned down their offer of asylum. I don't know how many people will survive from the tempest of death that has come upon Germany, but it is only those who are in it who will be able to guard Germany in the right way. So that very year when Bonhoeffer went back to Germany, Heisenberg also crossed the Atlantic Sea and went back to Germany. Professor Heisenberg returned to Germany by the order of Hitler, together with von Weizsäcker, became the head of the uranium project. To put simply, he was ordered to develop the nuclear bomb. As far as the uranium project was concerned, Germany had the most advanced technical know-how about developing the nuclear bomb. But the reason that Germany was behind in the United States in developing the bomb was because Heisenberg. It is known that it was because Heisenberg had delayed the development of the bomb. He believed that bringing down Hitler's administration as soon as possible was the way to save Germany. And so, therefore, he risked his life to delay the development of the nuclear bomb. He also was a Christian. In order to guard the righteousness of God, he did not fear death. And because of this, Heisenberg was able to become one of the Christians who saved Germany. Now, these two people were merely just weak human beings. But when they did not fear death, but the word of God that they tried to guard, not fearing death, was the word of power of life. Today is the Sunday of the Holy Week. In which we commemorate the suffering of Jesus. Do we truly believe that by Jesus receiving the suffering of his limbs being nailed and bleeding, that all of the sins that we committed with our body have been washed away? Do we believe that by Jesus, by going through the suffering of death, was able to break death apart and lived again? And because of this, that we are able to connect to the eternal life that is beyond death in Jesus Christ? If so, then let all of us throw our body that had been washed clean by Jesus in order to become the good instrument of God. Let us not fear suffering. If it is for the sake of God's words, if we have to suffer disadvantage for the sake of God's words, then let us willingly suffer them. To suffer disadvantages to undertake suffering because of God's words is never the life of loss. Rather, the word of God will work in our lives as true life, and through our lives that are insignificant, God will work to renew this age, because the word that we believe in is the word of eternal life and power that raised Jesus from the suffering of death. Let us pray. Because Jesus, the Word incarnate in flesh, who came to this earth, wore the crown of thorn and bled from his head. The sins I've committed with my head have been washed away. Because the hands of Jesus were nailed and bled, the sins I have committed with my hands have been forgiven. Because the feet of Jesus were pierced with nails, the sins I committed with my feet by going to places I shouldn't have gone have been forgiven. Because the side of Jesus was pierced by a spear and Jesus bled to the last drop of blood, the sins I have committed with my body that will decay one day have been forgiven. On this Sunday of this Holy Week, which commemorates the suffering of death that Jesus endured on the cross to save me, I now offer up all parts of my body that have been renewed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that all my body will be used as a good instrument of God who fulfills the word of God in the history of our time, not like the Jewish leaders, but like Virgin Mary and Apostle Paul. Help us to gladly endure whatever suffering, whatever disadvantages that may come our way in order to keep to God's word, and thereby may the word of God work with the power of life in our lives, and through the word of God that works through our lives, may our families, our workplaces, our church, our society, and the history of mankind become renewed even in the midst of despair that is like death. We pray for those who died while guarding our country. We ask for your comfort of those families and that their death may be sublimated to the life that delivers our nation. Amen.